Today's episode is also brought to you by Canby Foursquare Church. Since 1978, a place to grow, connect, and serve. In-person services are back, with some restrictions to help ensure everyone stays safe and healthy. For the latest, visit their website at canbyfoursquare.com.
Welcome to Now Hear This, Canby,
your source for news.
The threat of a possible teacher strike was avoided this week.
There's a new irresistibly cute creature winning over fans, and its name is Scootaloo.
Sports?
It's like Lucy in the football. You want to kick a field goal, but they take it away from you.
We had to learn how to win.
Goal can't be in the last second of the game!
And interesting conversations.
Because I'm one of the strongest girls ever, and I know that for a fact.
I just really enjoy writing gossip as if I was a bear.
With an old maid daughter that make the best moonshine in the coast.
If it would have hit me in the face, I think I would have died. I really do.
I guarantee you would have died, man. Are you kidding me? Hello and welcome to Now Hear This, Canby. This is Tyler Frankie, and we're recording this on St. Patrick's Day, but don't worry, Clausen convinced me not to read all the news in an Irish accent. Arrdiddy, lads and lassies. Yeah, no, he did. Governor Kate Brown on Tuesday detailed her support for the Cover All People bill, which was introduced this legislative session at her request and would create a new state program to extend health care coverage to medically underserved people, regardless of immigration status. Brown said House Bill 2164, which is a product of her Racial Justice Council Health Equity Committee, would extend high-quality coverage to legal permanent residents, young adults who age out of the Cover All Kids program Oregon passed in 2019, DACA recipients, and undocumented adults. The program, which was modeled on the Oregon Health Plan, would focus on serving parents who have children or dependents in the Cover All Kids program as a minimum first step. Brown said all Oregonians must have quality, affordable health care, regardless of who they are or where they live. During my time as governor, we've made great strides in expanding access, Brown said. Currently, 94% of Oregonians and 100% of children have access to health care. The pandemic has taught us this is not good enough. Historically underserved minorities, particularly communities of color, have, quote, paid the price, Brown said, experiencing gaps in health care coverage that are disproportionately much higher than the general population. Everyone deserves access to health care, Brown said. It's the right thing to do, the just thing to do, and it's smart economic policy. Cover All People would reduce healthcare costs in Oregon, Brown argued, by giving underserved families and residents access to preventative and primary healthcare. Expanding quality healthcare coverage is linked to individuals obtaining and maintaining employment, which benefits the economy, she added. Health insurance coverage also reduces healthcare debt, which increases economic activity and productivity. The OHP has some of the lowest emergency department visit rates in the nation, the state says, which also lowers insurance rates and the cost of care. Immigrant and refugee communities are the backbone of our economy throughout the state, Brown said, across agriculture, manufacturing, the service sector, and our healthcare system. Frontline workers from our immigrant and refugee communities have gone to work every day during the pandemic to very literally keep our society going. Many of them worked through wildfires and breathed harmful smoke. The very least we can do in a just society is make sure they have access to this basic human right. If passed, the initial program would cover up to 2,000 adults with $10 million in funding in the governor's recommended budget, though investment in the program could be expanded to serve even more residents who are currently uninsured. Tuesday marked the 6th anniversary of a first-in-the-nation law that automatically registers voters based on driver's license data, popularly known as motor voter legislation. The law helped spawn similar efforts across the country, and Democratic state officials say it has bolstered Oregon's reputation as a leader in election accessibility and security. To date, 20 other states and the District of Columbia have implemented some form of automatic voter registration. Governor Kate Brown signed the bill on March 16, 2015, with a little extra dose of enthusiasm given she had developed and championed the bill while serving in her previous role as Secretary of State. This week, Oregon's new Secretary of State, Shemia Fagan, marked the anniversary with near equal enthusiasm. At a perilous time for voting rights across our nation, I am so proud to live in a state where Oregonians from across the political spectrum work together for fair, secure, and reliable access to the ballot box, Fagan said in a prepared statement. Oregonians from all walks of life can be proud of the fact that our state is a national model for how elections should be run. Fagan, too, had supported the legislation back in 2015 when she was a member of the Oregon House of Representatives. In a February 20th speech on the House floor that year, she had argued passionately in favor of the bill by pointing out the absurdity of having to register to exercise other constitutional rights, like being protected from unwarranted searches and seizures, owning firearms, or worshiping freely.
Imagine that you're sitting at home with your spouse on a Friday night, watching TV. Suddenly, the police break down your door, rush past you, start going through your cupboards, your drawers, and your file cabinets. You say, stop. I have a Fourth Amendment right to privacy. Show me a warrant. And the police officer says, well, I don't need a warrant for you. You haven't registered to exercise your Fourth Amendment rights. It's simple. All you have to do is go on your smartphone or fill out a postcard. But because you haven't registered to exercise your Fourth Amendment right, I get to assume that you don't want your Fourth Amendment rights. Maybe an officer sees your hunting rifles on the wall, just takes them and starts to make off with them. If you haven't registered for your Second Amendment rights, you're out of luck. And if you haven't updated your registration since you moved, you're out of luck. You know, I can picture state officials all over Oregon at the door of every mosque, temple, church, synagogue, every week, just checking. Got to make sure you've registered to exercise that First Amendment right to go worship. I mean, come on. You can't just wake up one morning and decide you want to worship. How do we know you really mean it if you don't fill out that mandatory government paperwork? I could go on, colleagues, but I think you get the point. Mandating government paperwork to register before we can exercise our most fundamental rights in any other context. Sounds absurd.
According to the latest annual report prepared by the Secretary of State's Elections Division, 90,769 people were registered to vote through the motor voter law in 2020, including more than 8,000 in Clackamas County. An additional 20,000 Clackamas Countyans used the motor voter process to update their address or party affiliation last year. A portion of Southeast 1st Avenue and South Walnut Street near Columbia Distributing will be closed Saturday for a controlled burn of a former residential property that is part of a planned outlet road for the Canby Industrial Park. Formerly owned by Patty Green, a vocal opponent of the Columbia Distributing project, the property was purchased by the city in June 2019 for $595,000 in urban renewal funds. The controlled burn of the house by the Canby Fire District will provide valuable training opportunities for firefighters. The two streets will be closed from 8 a.m. to 2 p.m. Saturday, according to Canby Public Works. The new North Outlet Road would extend South Walnut through several private properties to ultimately connect with Highway 99E near the Route 99 Roadhouse, providing ever-increasing industrial traffic and alternative to the existing roadways that primarily serve residential areas and rural farms. While the timeline for the project is dependent on a number of factors, including, crucially, the approval of the Oregon Department of Transportation, which maintains 99E, as the support of all of the impacted property owners, it also took an important step forward earlier this year as the City Council approved an amendment to include the project in Canby's transportation system plan, making it possible to use system development charge funds to help pay for it. Officials with the Canby School District are advising students and families of reports that a very small number, less than 0.001%, of mobile internet hotspots marketed by Verizon have significantly overheated and caused, quote, heat-related damage. Before you ask, the answer is no. That's not supposed to happen. That's not the reason they're called hotspots. A large number of the hotspots that the district has deployed to families for distance learning in the past year have been identified as the same model as those susceptible to the issue, officials say. For a picture of the affected model, visit our website, canbyfirst.com. Just over 600 of these devices are currently in use in the Canby School District, Technology Director Brett Atkins told Now Hear This Canby Wednesday. Verizon and the device's manufacturer are investigating the cause of these incidents, and the district said they are working with the telecommunications giant to provide options for exchanging students' devices if they choose. District staff advise that if you are currently using a hotspot that becomes unreasonably warm when charging or in use, please contact your school for support. More information is expected in the near future. The manufacturer recommends that families using these devices use only the provided cable and adapter to charge the device and unplug them when fully charged. The devices should not be plugged in continuously. Keep your device at room temperature and ensure it is not covered when in use, and power down the device when not in use. When forced to pivot to a distance learning model last spring, district officials had to confront the grim reality that 1 in 5 students, 15 to 20%, did not have reliable access to the internet and digital technology. Barred from stands due to statewide coronavirus restrictions, Canby Cougar families and supporters are finding other ways to show student athletes how much they care, whether that's seeing the teams off when they head out of town or filling Cougar Stadium with fake fans. Shelly Markell, mother of senior Canby quarterback and defensive back Zach Markell, would never miss a game, home or away, under normal circumstances, and the same is true for a tight-knit network of Cougar faithful, parents, alumni, family, and community members. But statewide limits on the number of people allowed to be in attendance at indoor or outdoor athletic contests, which schools and leagues are required to strictly enforce, left them little choice. Hence, the Canby Cougar football team taking the field for its season opener 2 weeks ago to find the stands at Cougar Stadium packed with colorful effigies. The fan stand-ins, or fandins, if you will, were actually large cardboard boxes with blue and gold Cougar t-shirts draped over them. Markell, Stacy Sprague, and other moms of Canby High School student athletes also hung banners recognizing every senior player, which will go back up for every home game, and erected a blue and gold balloon arch for the team to run through. Markell said, "We wanted to cheer up the stadium for the first time stepping on any type of field in over a year, and since we couldn't be there, we did our best to not have them run out to an empty stadium." On Friday, with the Cougs headed to Hare Field in Hillsboro for their first away game of the season, Markell, Sprague, and the others organized a colorful send-off party. Parents and family members lined Southwest 4th Street with signs and homemade banners, while the Canby Cougar dance and cheer teams rah-rah to the Canby High School fight song. "This is our way of showing our boys, the coaches, and staff, even if we can't be there physically, we are doing whatever we can to show our support and how much we care," Markell said. "We have their backs and are rooting for them from afar. The boys have handled the pandemic with class, and they deserve an amazing season." For photos, visit canbyfirst.com. Stay connected to what matters most this winter with unlimited high-speed internet from DirectLink. While things may look a little different this year, as we all work together to keep everyone as safe and healthy as possible, you can be confident that DirectLink's reliable network will keep your video calls, Snapchats, stories, and photos crystal clear and at your fingertips whenever you need them. In 2021, DirectLink is thankful for all of their amazing members and is proud to be your local internet, video, and voice provider for over 116 years. Well, it's that time of year again. My coat rack is empty because of my repeatedly wearing a jacket in the mornings and then repeatedly leaving them at the office every single afternoon. And that means one thing: spring has come to Oregon. Most years, it also means one more thing, and we're happy to report that the world is right again, because the world famous Tulip Fest at Wooden Shoe Tulip Farm in Woodburn is back. And we have a couple of ladies here to tell us all about it. We'd like to welcome on Karen Beaver. Hi, Karen.
Hi.
And Cassidy Van Dommelen. Did I pronounce that right, Cassidy?
You did. Good job.
Awesome. Welcome to both of you. Why don't you tell us just a little bit about yourselves and what you do at the farm, and also just give us a sense of the excitement you have that the festival is back this year.
Well, I'm Karen Beaver, and I was one of the founding members of starting Wooden Shoe Tulips way back a long time ago. So I'm kind of one of the old people around here.
And, wow.
So I've graduated from being an expert on cut tulips and flowers and growing bulbs to a festival organizer.
Agritourism.
So, yes, agritourism. Yeah. Totally. So I'm out making the space smooth and safe for everybody right now, getting awesome. Our signs up. And so just really excited. Everybody that's coming in right now are just so excited about doing the Tulip Festival.
So you've been around long enough, Karen, that just everything that's happened in the past year is just, you know, everything that you expected, no problem, nothing that surprised you or anything, right?
You mean this year so far?
No, I'm just teasing. It's obviously been, you had to go way back in history, right?
Yeah, right. Sorry. I tend to think of the movie I'd watch with my grandkids, Mulan, where after she does one thing and then Mishu asks her, okay, well, what's on next? And he says, yeah. She says, I'm making up as I go.
Right.
That's awesome. Kind of how I'm feeling right now.
Yeah. I hear you. I think we're all feeling a little bit of that, Karen. Absolutely.
But I've got great crew helping me out here. And Cassidy here is just, man, it's been great. I've had great support. So she's doing our social media. So she can tell her about herself.
Cassidy, you look a little younger. I don't think you've been around since the festival started like 50 years ago or whenever it was.
I have not been.
I came to Wooden Shoe about 3 years ago, and I worked in our CBD hemp extraction facility, awesome. Which is right across the street. And started kind of just picking up the camera over there, handling the Instagram. And a couple years later, here I am with one of the largest Instagram accounts in Oregon.
Yeah.
I'm super excited because, I do a lot of photography, so flowers are just inspiring and they're coming up and they're beautiful.
Yeah. I mean, on the one hand, that's obviously, like you said, a big job handling that big of an Instagram. On the other hand, how hard is it, right? Like, how hard is it to take a bad picture of a flower? Like, pretty difficult, I would imagine, right?
Yeah, and we're actually pretty lucky. Most of the content that goes on there, since we do have photographers from plumbing, it's really easy to just repost, and then they get the exposure, we get the great photos, and it's just a win-win.
Right. And you guys do such a great job on social media, really incredible shots and things that you guys are always sharing. Let's start then by talking about what happened last year. Obviously, the pandemic, you guys are one of the first events, one of the first large events in the state of Oregon, usually in the early spring, which, as it turned out last year, was just when the pandemic was hitting. Can you guys kind of tell us just really briefly how that all went down? Was it pretty instant that you knew that the festival was going to have to be canceled, which ended up happening? Or was there kind of a process you're trying to figure out, you know, what would be allowed or what the state would put on as far as restrictions?
Well, when we were going through that last year, we could kind of see it was coming.
But yeah.
We were hopeful it wouldn't come as soon as it did.
Gotcha.
We were hoping we'd at least get to start the festival and get going, because we were all set. We were all ready to go. Everybody was
Planned out. Yeah.
Yeah. And it was no. So it was really crushing. We had a bit of a crisis because we had, 8,000 plus pots that were ready to be going, and our social media group, Emily and whatnot, we did the pots for seniors. You want to explain a little bit about that, Cassie?
Yeah. So Emily's an Iverson. She's done a really amazing job these last couple of years, well, about 5 years actually, running all the social media. So she's kind of walked me through the situation. But last year, she came up with a really great idea of having people donate, and then we would send those potted tulips, which we would have sold at the festival, to a senior home of our choosing. And the reason we did that was so that everybody in the home would get a set of potted tulips. And so we actually went through all of our inventory, brightened up the day of tons and tons of seniors, and people felt really great. They were able to send them a pot. So we are doing that again this year.
Very cool. Yeah, I remember that. I thought that was such a cool program in so many different ways, able to give people an opportunity to connect with seniors or with their loved ones in a way that really wasn't possible earlier in the pandemic. So I am really interested in now fast forwarding back to this year, right? The decision-making process and how you guys went about bringing it back. I imagine obviously it was very touch and go for a while. Can we do this? How do we do this? Do we try? And it's really something I'm interested in because it's something that a lot of large events are going to have to go through this year. Like, should we try? As you mentioned, there's a lot of investment and planning that has to go in. And if you're not sure you're going to be able to do it, for a lot of places, it's just not worth it because that can break them. So how did you guys approach that process?
We approached it that we have to do it.
Yeah.
And the tulips aren't going to wait. And so we went ahead to plan full festival, obviously doing changes in layout and that sort of thing. But we had a backup plan. And our backup plan was, is if we get shut down, we're doing drive through.
Okay.
And we knew we were going to do the pre-ticketing anyways, or would need to have it, because we've shifted to not only spacious. I mean, we actually have two fields, so we've got 40 acres this year of nice space, but we've also gone to an online ticketing program so we could meter and control the number of people that come in per hour, and they have to come in that hour. So we're doing an hourly ticketing. And to avoid those big, big weekends where everybody, it's nice and they come out to the tulips. So people have to buy their tickets online. And again, like I said, our backup plan was if we get everything shuts down again, we're doing drive through.
Sure. Yeah. Which would still be a really nice experience.
Mm-hmm.
Karen, when you say, we just felt we had to do this, can you tell me a little bit more about that? I'm sure obviously part of that is financial. You guys are a farm, you are a business. I get that. But I feel like there was more to it when you said we really wanted to bring the festival back this year.
We just have so many people that enjoy it.
Yeah.
What do you do?
Yeah. Yeah. And you guys do in a normal year, how many people do you bring? And I know it's from all over the country and all over the world.
We figure about 150,000 people come through.
Yeah.
And so technically with our ticketing, we've cut that number in half. Again, not knowing what regulations are doing. And that's the advantage of online ticketing is we can adjust. Okay. If
yeah, scale it up or down. Yeah.
We can scale it up or down. And so it's giving us wonderful flexibility because that really was always one of our struggling points, and where we were at with the whole festival is we have those weekends and people are waiting like 2 hours in line, and it's like it's not the same experience as when you come out otherwise. And yeah. So in a way, the silver lining in all of this is it's given us a reason and the ability to make that change and control the inflow of people so that everyone can have that same, you know, wonderful experience.
Yeah. Yeah. What other kind of changes or modifications or have been done on the ground? Sort of what will the festival look like? Do you have to stay 6 feet away from the tulips? I mean, what's it going to be?
Not quite. 6 feet. Wait, we have our cow signs. Please stay 1 cow distance apart, please.
Right.
But we always have those wide grass pathways through the fields. We've got the signage, of course. But we've opened up kind of our front market area up by the building, expanded the fence down. Just trying to give people more space. There's some things that won't be happening, at least at the start. Some of the more hands-on things that normally we have, like for kids, cutouts. There's some of that, those things that are in the wings if things change, but
yeah.
We felt coming out at the gate that, okay, we just didn't want the swings out hanging out there or, you know, just touch points. We're famous for our lovely cutouts around the field and, you know, there's just things we've left off. There will be some kids rides, the people at Magic that does our rides and things. They've changed up what they've brought out, making it, you know, the things that they feel is safe that they can do with minimal touch with kids and people. So the thought process of everyone has got COVID on their mind. How can we be safe? How can we keep everyone safe? And so, again, a greater space is what we've done is spread things out.
Yeah, absolutely. What about hours? Same hours as usual, or were you looking to maybe expand those to try and kind of spread that flow and that crowd out more?
So we are keeping our same hours. It's going to be weekdays 9 to 6 and weekends 8 to 7, but we do have a couple of options. So our season pass holders, which we have gone from in the past, we've been able to do a carload, but due to tracking and contact tracing, if need be, we have limited our season passes to just be for one individual. Same with our sunrise passes. So both of those passes do allow you to come before opening and after close. And mostly for, you know, the photographers out there, really limited numbers, but there is still a way to come out and see those really gorgeous sunrises and sunsets.
Yeah. Yeah. Awesome. What about food?
We do have, we've got a number of food vendors. We've got, I mean, just really great sweets and pizzas, and we've got coffee. Who else do we have out there?
Oh, we've got, you know, of course, kettle corn. We've got, Loco Ono does their barbecue, pizza.
Yeah.
It's, we've got a variety. We had a little shift in that too. So some, you know, one of our main vendors isn't back this year.
Yeah.
Again, not knowing, rather than rush in and replace, we're just
cautiously.
Kind of cautious.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, we're excited, yeah. but there's this little, you know, caution cloud hanging over our heads here.
Right.
We just want to be very, very, very careful. We can always add more things as we go if we need to.
Right. Ramp up.
Yeah.
Yeah. Capacity, I'd love to hear from the social media side what you've kind of seen as far as the excitement, the responses, the questions maybe that you've gotten from people once you announced that that things are coming back and started to share information in that regard.
People were beyond thrilled. It was honestly so heartwarming to go on. I mean, we were getting messages around the clock. Just we had a little bit of fear with the ticket price increases, which again, to kind of control the amount of guests that we're having and try to get away from those big weekends and kind of try to get people to spread out a little bit throughout the week. So we were expecting maybe a little bit of backlash, but honestly, in the thousands and thousands of comments and direct messages and all that, the number one thing people are saying is just, thank you. We can't wait. We haven't been able to do anything all year. I had one girl say that she was wearing her best outfit because she hadn't done anything in a year. So, I mean, people are just really excited. Common questions. A lot of people bought passes in 2020. So they want to know if those are being honored. 100%. They are. We are. We've accounted for that in our numbers. So they are welcome to come in. People often want to know if they can bring their pets. We do allow all pets on leashes. We've had iguanas.
I've even been allowed to take my children out there. So I know you guys are pretty lenient with
yeah. the animals. So yeah, I mean, it's just been very positive. We've been doing some giveaways and people are just really, really excited and being great sports about all the COVID rules and, you know, letting us know that they are going to do their absolute best to help us so that we can continue this tradition for years to come, because that's really what it's all about.
Yeah. You get the sense that people, you know, as Cassidy kind of said, like, just are anxious to do anything after this past year we've had where everything got canceled. So many things were closed or very restricted, but also more than that, I mean, this is a tradition for a lot of people, right? Mm-hmm. That's returned to, this feels like normal again, a little bit, right?
Yeah. There's so many people that come out and have their pictures in the tulip for every year for Easter. I mean, you know, it is a tradition for many, many people. And, you know, it's a nice start for this, you know, the spring and summer season. It's a nice, and where else can you go and you walk in a field of flowers that way?
Right. Right. Or 40 acres of them, let alone.
Yeah. Yes.
I know another thing that I've seen on your social media, Cassidy, is the balloon rides. Mm-hmm. That's a big thing for Wooden Shoe.
That is, it's one of our top, we've got Mount Hood and the hot air balloons. Those are two of our, you know, top engagement types of posts. We are bringing our hot balloonists back this year. So we're really kind of claiming the tethered balloons. So just the ones that go up and down. The other balloon companies, you book through them. So they kind of have their own thing going on. But as far as the Tethered, I mean, the guys have been great. Everybody's providing us with their own unique to them COVID statement policy, just so that we can make sure that they are covered, we are covered, everybody is safe and feels safe, because that is another huge, huge thing. And so our balloons will be going, weather permitting, Friday, Saturday, Sunday, beginning at what, 8 a.m.?
Yeah, I don't know what time. Maybe it's usually early.
But there is a little hotline on our website. So if someone's coming out and they want to know if the balloons are going to be up that day, or if they need to try and get in touch with the office and go for a different day, then we do have that. It's on our website.
Yeah, yeah. Awesome. Okay, well, how can folks get tickets for the festival and get more information?
So online only. So just www.woodandshoe.com. I think I might have added there's a lot of W's.
I was going to say, the Wooden Shoe website. Don't go anywhere else. Yeah. Go to the Wooden Shoe website.
And then just go to tickets. And then one interesting little quirk that we're learning with this ticket spice is that even if you are buying a season pass, it's still going to ask you to reserve a day and time.
Okay.
Just go through that little gateway, and then you'll get all of your different options.
Awesome. Well, thank you, ladies, both so much for your time. Is there anything that either of you would like to say, either to the community or just about this upcoming festival before you go?
We're welcoming everybody out. We're so excited. We're just hoping for some wonderful weather and hope to see everyone out here.
Yeah. And I'm sure, Cassidy, based on the response that you've seen online, people, they'll put up with anything at this point as far as weather goes, as long as it's not an ice storm, right?
You just want to, trust me, we've had that. No, they're just excited. And so are we. We're thrilled to be back. So,
okay. No ice storm, no wildfires beyond that. We'll take anything.
Yeah, we can do it. Yes. Yeah.
All right. Thank you again. Best of luck on this season. Thanks again for taking time out to talk to us.
Yeah. Thank you. Bye-bye. Thank you very much.
Joining us now is Donna Ellison of Ellison Team Homes, a firm serving all across the Portland metro area with three realtors based right here in Canby. Donna, can you tell us how Ellison Team Homes started?
I started in real estate. I grew up with my dad. He was a realtor. So I'm a second generation broker, and I grew up with him on weekends. And I learned a lot eventually working with him for several years and then going out on my own. Our family moved to Canby a couple of years ago, but we really didn't know how it was going to go. And within the first probably 3 months of being here, we literally fell head over heels in love with this place. We love the community, the spirit here. The first Christmas at Waite Park, I was literally crying because everybody was walking around saying Merry Christmas and people were drinking hot chocolate, and we got in a carriage ride with the horse, and it was just too much. You just realize it's special here. Real estate's always been my passion. It is my professional love. I enjoy the people, the relationships. So much comes out of kind of the intensity that you spend with people. You're really up in their business for a period of time. And sometimes it's a couple months. Sometimes it's a couple years, sometimes it's a lifetime.
Yeah.
I feel very blessed at this point to have people that have been with me for almost my entire career. Mm-hmm. Clients that have bought and sold maybe 2, 3, 4, or 5 homes. I have one client that's bought and sold 8 homes with me.
Yeah.
3 generations. It's a beautiful business. It makes for a very full life.
Mm-hmm. How can people find you?
How can they not, really? we have a website, www.ellisonteamhomes.com.
Well, thank you, Donna.
Thank you for having me.
All right, why don't you tell us who you are and what's going on here?
My name is Debbie Kraft, and I am the treasurer for the Canby Graduation All Night Party. We're a nonprofit group, and what we're doing here is we're letting all the parents know and the senior parents know that we are having that party on June 11th, right after graduation. It's happening.
What's going on out here today, all this craziness?
We're handing out a senior shirt that has all of you kids' names on it. So come get your shirt, make sure you find your name on there. And it's got all of the logos on the front of all the stuff that's happened this year. The ice storm, the wildfires, the COVID, the vaccine, all of it.
I love that. Lack of toilet paper, everything.
We're just trying to get the seniors excited for the small amount of school we get to go back to, which is exciting.
Yeah.
So that's what we're doing.
And tell us about the theme. How did you pick that?
Well, we figured that 2021 has been challenging for everyone. So we chose the Survivor horror theme, and we are surviving it.
Yeah, yeah. And what was the thought behind wanting to do this party for the senior class?
Well, every year we do a senior party, and it's an all night. It's for safety. We lock all the kids in. It's a no drug, no alcohol party in a secret location, so we won't tell you where.
Right.
It's all money that we collect from private donations and from businesses.
Yeah.
And it's to keep the kids safe.
Right, right. Because we know they want to celebrate, and we want them to celebrate. They've earned it.
We want it bigger than ever this year. We want every kid to come. Get the word out to kids that are either doing the COLA, the online. Maybe they're in a different school district online. We want them. If they were a senior this year and can graduate, we want them coming to our party.
Awesome, awesome. And you said that it's all community supported, donation supported. Are there ways already that people can support?
You can go to cambygap.com to donate, and it's got our information for the to mail a check, or we can pay. You can also, the students can buy tickets through the bookkeeper here at the school.
Yeah, yeah. What are there other events and things that you guys will be doing for the seniors in advance of that party, or other things that
I'm
planned?
Not sure what the school has involved, but we will get the information out for when we're doing ticket sales and stuff for
awesome.
The party.
Awesome. And how are the, I know it's a lot of parents and stuff out here. I don't know if you're a parent of a senior as well, but how are the kids kind of doing?
Oh, they're loving it. I mean, it's funny. You give them a lollipop and they're big smiles. Then you give them a Capri Sun, they're excited. And then we've got a super cool short.
It's really hard to not be happy when somebody gives you a Capri Sun. That's just hard. That's hard.
True.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, thank you so much, Debbie.
You're
really
welcome.
Appreciate it.
We got one for you, too.
Oh, all right.
Thanks for killing
awesome.
Us.
Thank you so much. All right. Tell me your name and your role with the district.
I am Brenda Griffin. I am the president of the graduation all night party, and I'm also the bookkeeper at Canby High School.
Awesome, awesome. And you've been in charge of that party for a long time.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes, I've been doing it since 2010.
Yeah. Yeah.
So I think I've been the president since 2012.
Right.
So.
And 2020 was just a normal year as far as that goes.
Oh,
just,
no.
Just no.
2020 was. We planned and planned and planned, and then. We just kept making, it's going to open. Oh, wait, it's not going to open. Wait, we're going to do something at the end of summer. We're going to do something at Christmas.
In the middle
wait.
Of summer, right?
Yes. So currently what we've got going on, we're going to be throwing the Canby High School Class of 2020's one-year reunion.
Oh, wow.
It'll be free for all of the students. We're going to want them to just come. We'll put on our website, www.canbygap.com. The information where it's going to be located. We're going to be inviting all of our staff. These kids did not get to say goodbye to their teachers. So we're
yeah.
going to invite them all out. We will be having thousands of dollars worth of prizes. We're going to have free food. There'll be a swimming pool and a hot tub and a poker room and a we're going to have entertainment that I know that those kids missed out on. That we've traditionally had an amazing show during the all-night party. So this will not be an all-night thing. It's going to be like a picnic style.
Hmm.
Come out, eat some food, hang out with these kids that you didn't get an opportunity to hang out with before.
That's so great.
Yeah.
Yeah, and the staff are allowed to come.
Yes, we want the staff there. If you're planning on the end of July, the beginning of August, a lot of these kids have moved on with their life. They're
yeah.
going off, back off to college. Colleges in other states are going to be early August, so we're
right.
going to try and get it before those guys take off. But teachers are coming back to work, so try
yeah.
to get everybody there. That'd
yeah.
be great.
Yeah. Brenda, why do you think it's so important to make it happen this year for the class of 2021, to do what you just described, to kind of make up for the class of 2020? You've been doing this for a long time. Why do you think it's so important to do this for the senior class?
This is critical. So we want to keep our kids safe on graduation night. It's one of the biggest nights of their lives, and they are so excited to go celebrate. And so we've created a party that for... This is the 37th year that Canby High School has offered an all-night party. And for years and years, it was at Ackerman, then it was at Baker Prairie. And then we decided we're taking them someplace off-site to a location that is second to none. The biggest complaint we had the last year that we had it was there were so many things to do. They didn't get to do everything. They
That's a good
out.
Complaint. That's what you want to hear.
Yes.
Yeah.
The prizes we have big.
That's the Disneyland complaint.
Yes.
Yes.
So we want to have them come out and celebrate. They're probably the last night that they're going to see most of the people in their graduating class. If we think about it, I had an all-night party way back in the day. It was one of the very first ones, and yeah, I've got to spend some great time. And you actually, they end up connecting with another kid that they maybe didn't even see at the high school, that they sat down and played bingo with them, or they did the wipeout, you know, all of these activities that they didn't get an opportunity when they were here at school. And so it just makes for a really fun night. And like I said, I haven't had anybody complain about the activities.
Yeah, yeah. For this year, I know you guys are really trying to get the word out because there's a lot of confusion. Is it happening? Are we gonna do it? Are we able to do it?
Right. And this year, we've spoken with the owner of the venue that we've rented, that we've had rented all year long, because it is really tough to get what the primo locations fill up really fast.
Sure.
So we got this reservation before May of last year. And
wow.
We've spoken with that owner, and he said that the county that it's in, and we do keep it a surprise, we don't tell the kids where they're going until they get there.
Right.
For safety concerns. But the county that they're in is anticipated that we will be able to have more than 300 people. We can stay up past 11 o'clock at night, and we can have lots of fun, and a lot of the mandates will go away.
Awesome, awesome. From how you're describing it right now, I'm guessing Idaho, but now I'm just kidding.
Yeah, it is always, we try and keep it within 30 minutes of
where we are. Oh, gotcha. Okay, so not Texas. Okay.
Yeah, we're not putting them on a plane. But yeah, we try and keep it within 30
Vegas.
Minutes. Otherwise, they get really, really sleepy.
Yeah,
so,
sure, sure. Yeah. Absolutely. Other stuff planned before the party? Are you guys doing other things? I know the high school probably has stuff planned. What about the GAP volunteers?
The graduation party, I'm not sure where it started, but we've always hosted the senior locker decorating.
Okay.
And that will be decided based on the Oregon Department of Education's guidance, is whether we can come inside. Can we come in and we decorate the lockers with pictures, and we open up their locker and fill it with goodies and stuff? Well, this year we haven't had kids in school and nobody got lockers. So there is still senior hall. We're anticipating that everything's going to continue to open. We're going to do locker decorating, and that's where parents come in. And then there's the big reveal the next day when all the kids come to school. It's super fun. Since we didn't issue lockers to all the students, it'll just be a first come, first serve. Put your picture up, decorate your student's locker wherever that is. And then it's more of like a treasure hunt. They have to go find the locker that is theirs, that their mom put out their cute little baby picture.
That's fun. So, that's really fun. Okay, Brenda, anything else you want to tell people about?
No, just thanks so much for this town to support the graduation all night party. We wouldn't be able to do it without the businesses and families of Canby.
Yeah, awesome.
Hey, Frankie, you okay? You seem kind of down.
Yeah, I'm just bummed. I miss going to the Wild Hare. I know you can still get takeout and all, but it's just not the same.
You know they're open again, right?
What?
Yeah, they've been open for a while now. Don't you cover, like, the news?
Hey, I'm only human, okay?
Okay. Well, I can tell you that the Wild Hare and their amazing staff are thrilled to be open again for delicious meals and fun times. They are strictly following all the recommended safety guidelines, and they have the only covered outdoor patio in Canby, with lots of tables spaced 6 feet apart and umbrellas also spaced 6 feet apart, and fantastic ambiance. And hey, if you're still more comfortable with carryout, they can hook you up there too. Find their menu and other information online at thewildhairsaloon.net or check them out in Canby and Oregon City. Anything to add, Frankie? Frankie? Oh, I guess he left. God, he must have been really hungry. Now Hear This Canby is produced by me, Tyler Clausen. Our content director and star reporter is Tyler Frankie. And of course, our show is edited by Cameron Clausen. We also feature the vocal talents of Joy Struby and James Walden. So a round of applause to them. The song that you're hearing right now is Canby by singer-songwriter Olivia Harms, used with her permission. To find more work from her, you can visit her website olivia13.com.
Now Hear This Canby is dedicated to preserving independent local journalism and redefining local news with our fun, fresh, and energetic brand of storytelling. Our sincere thanks to our local sponsors who make this show possible. Please show your appreciation by supporting the small businesses who support us.
the production of Now Hear This Studios, Cambie's locally owned full-service audio, video, and media production company. Our mission is to produce the best content in the universe, and we'd love to help you do it. Find us online at nhtstudios.com.
I will take a motion to adjourn.
I just moved it.
I didn't even ask for it, though.